Coming up, they're going to be playing the name game again, and they're getting better at it. Hmm. Here they are now, Gatos and Chad.
That is right.
At 5:30, we're
one
going
of the hardest
to,
names in the world to pronounce.
We're going to talk to Doug Nichols.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're positive?
No, I have him write it out in big letters. He's the mayor of Yuma. We've had him on several times, like this guy.
Yes.
He's just trying to do the best for Yuma, and the border's a mess. Of course, the first time we had him on, if you remember, we butchered his name. Tough to do that with a name, Doug Nichols.
But we managed to do it three times. You guys have no talent. Yeah, we know. Yeah,
we already know.
Hold our beers.
All right, so he'll join us. What is it like? Is the disruption in Yuma just incredible after, 2 million people walked over the border in 2021? So we're going to have that discussion. What was it like inside of that meeting in Yuma that got pretty heated? There were a couple different ones with Mayorkas, the DHS secretary. So, and the Ducey List interview, which I don't know why the governor wasn't invited. He should have been. Okay. That's at 5:30. First,
somebody's going to fix the border.
Well, I happen to believe there's some decent Republicans out there that want to be the governor. Carrie Lake is not one of them. I don't have a personal problem with her. I just don't think that she's the right one for the job because I just don't like people who believe in the QAnon stuff. So that's my big problem with her. It's
nothing personal. I still wonder about the QAnon, but because I often wonder with somebody like Carrie. Like, again, I don't know her at all, and I don't even know what she stands for outside of. They all say the same thing. You know, we all stand with Trump, and we all believe this, and we love God and guns, and you know,
a lot of times
America.
They do say the same thing.
Yeah, but the reality is with the QAnon thing. Sometimes I see these people, and I think it is the easiest way, the road less traveled, to get themselves publicity.
She was QAnon while she was on television, Chad. She's been doing this a while. So this is after she gave all her money to Democrats. Remember that. She gave it to Obama. She gave it to Kerry. And then all of a sudden, she decided, I'm not a Democrat anymore.
Look,
and I don't
Obama,
like TV.
I could go, okay, you know what? Man, Obama, but Kerry?
Yeah, ish. Okay.
My God.
So I like some of the Republicans who are running for governor. Kerry Lake's not my favorite. And that's to say, let's say it lightly. So what do Republicans think about Kerry Lake? Not much. Because, you know, I think she's hit her ceiling. There are a lot of Republicans out there that look at her and say, okay, you know, I like that she thinks that the, you know, there was this whole election thing was a fraud. I believe that and this, that, and the other thing. But she's never going to win an election by just looking at trying to get far right voters.
Well, no, while she has name recognition, she is lacking now in the one thing that you need campaign-wise, which is
money.
Money pours in, and she probably thought the money was going to continue to pour in. Mm-hmm. And a good portion of that money that came in were people that what? They were associated with Trump outside. They threw a bunch of money in, and then lo and behold, it starts to dry up. Karen Robeson, right? She's got a ton of money. Ton of money. Salmon is well known in the political world.
Right.
Money raising is probably not going to be as toughest thing to do. Mm. So people are catching up. And you're right. She might have hit a ceiling.
There are only so many people, when you go out on such a limb and believe all these conspiracy theories, that are going to follow you.
Yeah.
So even Republicans are hitting back at her. The Republican Accountability Project. Basically, if you look at them, you actually looked it up.
That's Bill Kristol. If you guys don't know him, he's the Weekly Standard, and he's a very big conservative. A couple other people that are on this. Jeb Bush, low energy Jeb. This is their thing. They've got a ton of money, and they're going around. Anybody who is a Trump person that he's endorsed, they are throwing money at trying to take them down.
Well, I'll revise what you said, and you may not agree with it.
No, he was very low energy.
Oh, he was totally low energy.
Somebody clap, please.
Got diced up in that debate. What this the Republican Accountability Project, what they say they're about is, hey, if you're out there running for office and you're a Republican and you think the election was stolen, we don't think you're good for the country.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the ad they wrote.
I get that, but I know who these people are and I see.
Okay, that's fair. Here's the ad.
Meet Kerry Lake, Arizona's leading Republican candidate for governor and a threat to our democracy. She spreads lies about the 2020 election at every turn.
You could say Biden won the presidency kind of like O.J. is innocent.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he is.
All right,
I mean,
okay.
Was he convicted,
All
yes
right.
or no?
All right. Here's more.
Calls for election officials to be prosecuted.
As your governor, we will prosecute everybody involved in our election fraud.
Okay, here's the really dangerous part. Listen.
And said if she were governor in 2020, she would not have certified the election.
I would not have certified it.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, that's completely reckless and dangerous. And you can say what you want about Governor Doug Ducey. I've had my problems. I had my run-ins with the guy. He did his job. He did what was expected of him.
And he did his job in the face of knowing that his party and the powers that be were not going to be happy with him.
Yeah.
But that was the right thing to do based on zero evidence.
Right. You look at what Mike Pence had to do. He was pressured by Trump to do the wrong thing. Mike Pence did not do the wrong thing. You say what you want about Mike Pence. At the end of the day, he did not do the wrong thing. Same with Governor Doug Ducey. At the end of the day, when it came down to the elections, he did the right thing. So I think if you have someone, you know, in Carrie Lake who wants to just say, I would never have done that.
Yeah.
You're dangerous. I think you are bad for democracy. And I'll just say, I think there are better choices out there if you're a Republican. And to be quite honest with you, if you want to go vote for Carrie Lake, I don't care. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for.
Yeah.
But if you do put her through, she will lose the general election because there isn't a single independent like me that would vote for her. Then you're forcing us to go.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if, because I don't know what Hobbs is going to look like. She's obviously, the Republicans have helped Walker potentially to the governorship because of their insanity. But there's also some stuff.
With the ninjas and all that. Yeah.
There's stuff coming out.
They made her a star.
They did. They made her a star. It was the best thing that's ever happened to her political career. All that being said, we don't know what's going to come out over there. But for somebody like Carrie Lake, while the ceiling right now seems to be kind of stuck in an area where she's bumping her head, it's surviving to that first primary where everybody has a look, because that's when you know the next day where people are like, nope, no way. And that money dries up, or people are like, you know what? You get a big shot in your arm. And I think that's what she's hoping for.
Yeah. And anything could change.
Absolutely.
We've seen craziness happen in politics where somebody you don't think is going to win, Trump, Biden, shoots to the top.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you're a Republican out there and you vote for her, you're basically voting for Katie Hobbs. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
All right. Coming
Unless,
up
of course, Katie Hobbs has more stuff inside that closet of
yeah, she's
lawsuits.
Not squeaky clean either.
No.
All right. Up next, the mayor of Yuma joins us. He was in the high-level meeting about the border just the other day with the Biden administration. It was a high-level meeting.
Very, very high.
What was said and what will happen? Will the border finally get better?
I've been to Yuma. I wonder if they had like a Dairy Queen or something.
I love Dairy Queen.
I love Dairy
we
Queen.
We should totally get Dairy Queen while Becky Lynn's doing her news. We're back after this.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
2 million people crossed the border in 2021.
2 million.
Just an outrageous number. Yuma's been getting crushed, okay?
Yeah.
So, big meeting in Yuma earlier this week. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was there. And, you know, he's done nothing on the border. Who else was in that meeting? Well, our next guest was in that meeting. He's the mayor of Yuma. We're pleased to be joined by him once again. Doug Nichols joins us. Hey, Mr. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing well today. How are you guys?
We're doing good. So we heard the meeting in Yuma that you were a part of. Mayorkas was there. It got heated. Is that true? And were you the one screaming?
Well, I think the meeting you're referring to is with the agents themselves.
Okay.
That one, I understand, got heated. Ours, we had very direct conversations about very potentially issues that could cause some heat, but it went professionally, so we didn't have anything like the Border Patrol meeting earlier in the day with the agents.
You know, Mayor, we hear the stuff that was coming out of there. You had, was it Councilman Lyons, whatever, saying that he's going to do all this stuff, and it sounds like he really believes it. We're talking to you. Do you buy any of the stuff that Mayorkas is saying? Because let's be real, they've done nothing to this point. So what's to make them think they're going to change?
Well, that's a very valid point. So by nature, I'm optimistic. However, it's more of the Reagan-esque approach of trust but verify.
Yeah. Mm.
And, we had him commit to having a follow-on meeting within 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. So that'll be the early indication instead of waiting for months to see what happens. If we don't even get that meeting with him, then we know it was just smoke. But he did say the right things, and so it seemed as if he was attuned to the issues. We only brought a couple of issues up that he wasn't quite aware of, but they were kind of in the weed issues for the city and the community.
Was it like issues like, hey, people can't cross the border? Do you guys know that?
Mm.
Is that one of the issues?
It was issues like, no, he understood that part, which was was refreshing. The issue like, you know, it's taken us forever to get our ambulance service reimbursed through the federal government for every time we have to transport people from the Border Patrol station to the hospital and back. And that is up, oh, by the way, about 100%, actually about 500%. Sorry, my math was wrong there.
Hmm.
So those things that they're not going to be tracking, but definitely have an impact on us.
Okay. The mayor of Yuma is joining us. Doug Nichols is our guest. When did you get word of the meeting?
I got, so it's a little bit interesting. I get the unofficial word before I get the official word. So I got the unofficial word about a week out.
Okay.
And then the official word, I think it was 3-4 days ahead.
Okay. And why wasn't Governor Ducey there? Because that's why I'm asking that question.
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't have a whole lot of input on the invite list. But I think they were trying to make it Yuma specific. I'd put a request in. The sheriff had put a request in. We had locally put the request in to have the secretary come visit.
Did you call Ducey and
I
say...
I mean, Yuma specific. I mean, Ducey does happen to be still be the governor of Yuma.
Did you call him and say, hey, we're having this meeting, but they haven't invited you? Did you let him know about that?
Actually, I did talk to the governor's office prior to the meeting. I asked them, you know, what if anything, did they want me to carry for the governor? And they were not... didn't bring anything forward because I think we're on the same page on a lot of these issues.
All right.
All right. Talking to Doug Nichols, the mayor of Yuma. Okay. Did you look at him and address the issue of the Remain in Mexico policy, which seemed to work pretty darn good for a while, that was taken away, then reinstated, and why aren't they using it?
Yes, is the short answer. We talked at length about the Remain in Mexico program. And he admitted it's not coming out as fast as it should. And so that was on his to-do list. The other problem is the numbers that are allocated to the border region is about a fifth of the numbers, the daily numbers that were allowed to return to Mexico is about a fifth of what it was under President Trump. And that has to do with our relationship with Mexico. We had a very frank conversation about the relationship that the current administration has with Mexico and trying to get them to do more to help the situation.
Doug Nichols is the mayor of Yuma. He's joining us on KTAR, the Gatos and Chad show. He was in a high-level meeting at the border earlier this week. Can you tell everybody out here how much disruption has the last year created for you of people coming over the border? What is it really like?
Well, what it's not like, which is one of the things we also talked about with the secretary, is it's not total chaos and crime throughout our community, which seems to get the implication. It's more on the logistics side with our nonprofits, making sure that things are taken care of, our police just engaging with some additional, mostly minor crimes, petty crimes. But, you know, in the middle of a pandemic and you have an extra 1,000 people a day coming through your community that can get sick, can get hurt, especially as our hospital's already near capacity. Those things impact the everyday person, whether they see it or not, because it takes resources away from things that are normally being dealt with in our community.
And that's the one thing I don't think people in D.C. Ever talk about is the impact on local communities with the resources. You guys run out of resources, and you just talked about getting them to even, you know, reimburse you for ambulance and all those things. You multiply that by everybody in the community, and that's where they feel it.
Right, right. Because if the federal government isn't paying it, we are directly through our bills, because those costs need to get covered somewhere, and so they get spread back out to everyone else who uses the same services, whether it's ambulance transport or hospital or any of those community level services.
Hey, do us a favor. If they actually pull the trigger on this and fix some of the wall, maybe put up some more lighting like they said they were going to do. There's rusted wall they said they replace, that kind of stuff. If that actually happens, please give us a call. We'd love to have you back on to discuss it. And by the way, if it doesn't happen, call us too, because we want to hold these guys accountable. And we always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Fair enough. Thank you, guys.
All right, Doug Nichols, mayor of Yuma. I think we learned a lot there. Big meeting happening earlier this week. Coming up next, story time in the Gatos and Chad show. That's how we ended on Friday. We've basically given you 19 hours, 45 minutes of news this week. And coming up next, we're going to share something from our personal lives.
It's story time on the Gatos and Chad show. After giving you 19 hours and 45 minutes of news this week, the guys give you an inside look at their personal lives.
Yes, it's time to get all warm and fuzzy on the show at the end of a long week. It's time to bring you into our personal lives. Chad, I'll go first.
Okay.
Very proud stepdad right here. I am a proud stepdad of two kids now in their 20s, came into their life as they were teenagers in high school. I love these kids like they were my own. Our son is moving from Tucson to Dallas.
And he's Tucson doing it to Dallas.
This weekend. So he goes to the U of A, goes to school at the U of A, finds a great job after college where he works at Raytheon. Build a bunch of bombs and stuff. It's awesome, right?
Nice.
And he was there for a while. But the thing is, and as I've always teased, I can't stand Tucson. Tucson is just,
So what you're saying is you're a big fan of Tucson.
I am not. If you like Tucson, I don't know what's wrong with you. We didn't want him to stay in Tucson. That is a great college town, man. Both of our kids went there. They got great education, a great experience. It's a wonderful place to go to school. Love
so
the U of A.
Between 18 and about 23,
you're
24,
yeah.
That's a great place to be. And then the minute you are done,
yeah,
leave.
You got to get out of there, man. All right. So he decides, I'm going to stay because this is a really good job. You're working for Raytheon, man. This is a great company, right? And then, of course, the pandemic hits. Things change. And he looks at his life. This is why I'm so proud of him. He looks at his life. He goes, do I really want to be here in Tucson? He's a super smart kid. Knows computers like the back of his hand. Just very, very bright, very smart. And so what he does is, instead of sitting tight and deciding, well, you know, we'll see what happens. He said, I'm going to go and improve my life. And he found a great job out in Dallas that's going to pay him a lot more money. I think he's going to be a lot happier in Dallas. I just got back from Dallas a few weeks ago, went to see the Cardinals play Dallas. Dude, that town is fun.
Yeah.
That is a young town. He is going to have a great time, not Tucson. And so many great establishments,
cool,
right?
Not crazy.
Just got his apartment. He's going to bring his dog there. They're going to go out this weekend. My lovely wife is in Tucson today helping him clean out the apartment that he's in. And I'm just super proud of the kid. And I call him a kid. He's in his late 20s. But he's got a whole new adventure and a whole new life waiting for him. And Dallas, Texas, he's gonna drive out there and start it all this Saturday. I'm just very proud of him. The kid is brilliant. There's no question about it. Story time. The Gatos and Chad show. What's happened with you, my man?
You know, you guys know my father-in-law passed away a few weeks ago, and we have been deciding what we were going to do because one of the big reasons we moved out there is because my wife's family's there, and she knew her father wasn't in great shape. So now we've decided the other night we are done. We're going to sell our house, and we're making a decision if we're going to sell both houses.
Wow.
Move a little bit closer to town.
You're an hour outside of the radio station.
Yeah, yeah. It's a drive and a half. An hour outside, except for the part where last night it took me 3 hours to get home.
No.
3 hours to get home.
It did not take
it
you
did.
Three.
The traffic was so horrific. There was three accidents. Two on my side, one on the other, that one had closed one side of the freeway down completely, and there were times where I was sitting there for 30 or 40 minutes, and we didn't move. So we were thought about moving towards the north side of town, Casa Grande, and where it's only 35, 40 minutes. Yeah, it's not bad. It saves me 15, but it's really just trying to figure out what we're going to do, and it's a trip. I haven't been home. You know, I stopped by, and I see the lizards and stuff, but and we've got somebody taking care of the house right now, but basically, I haven't been home in like 3 weeks.
Because you've been at your mother-in-law's
mm-hmm.
house.
Mm-hmm. Big house. Very nice. And we've got a giant separate area. I mean, she owns a bunch of...
She's distraught and she lost her husband.
A lot of stuff cleaned out. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to take care of. And it's been one of those things where we decided, you know what? Last night, we'd been talking about it for a while, but that was it. They're like, we're done. We're putting the houses up for sale. We're going to put one house up for sale ASAP.
You going to move her in with you?
Yeah, we're all going to move together, you know, grandma. And it's good if grandma needs that, and the kids need to have grandma around. And Charlie loves it. Charlie thinks she's on the eternal vacation, so it's been pretty awesome.
What do you, 3-year-old little Charlie, what does she mean? What do you mean she's on vacation?
She's, this is it. I don't want to go home.
Oh.
Like, can we get the dogs and bring them
so
over?
So you guys have literally left your house and went across the way just with grandma, just to get her through this time.
Yeah. So
she, little Charlie's already, she spotted her room, right?
She's got her room. She, last night she had a tent up.
Squatted her room, sorry.
You know, and it's, no, they're rooms. They, all the kids have their own rooms already for when they go over there, you know, to visit grandma and grandpa. But still, it is, so we're moving, and this will be an interesting thing.
Now you got a room for me?
If you want to come on out, we got several amazing rooms available.
All right. That's it. Story time of the Gatos Chat Show. We gave you 19 hours, 45 minutes of news this week. So we just shared something from our personal lives. We do that at the end of the show. All right, man. You have a good weekend.
You
do
the
same. We're going to hit it up again on Monday. Becky Lynn is up next. I'll see you on Monday, man.
See you, mother.